On this Monday of the 11th week, we're moving through the book of Kings and the Gospel of Matthew. And it just so happens that today we couldn't have two greater contrasts. We have in the first reading this absolutely, murderous woman. Sort of a rebuttal to feminists who think all women were oppressed. It's Naboth that gets oppressed, not just, Jezebel. Violence. Unfortunately, the story is already long enough so that they stopped on hearing that Naboth was dead. Ahab started off on his way and so forth. The very next line is Elijah stands there and says, listen, in the very place where Naboth's blood was shed, your blood will be shed. And it's, I guess they figure the text is long enough and they didn't. But it would have satisfied some people to know that there is justice, Then our Lord gives us advice that is among the most difficult to understand and certainly to practice that we have. We're in the antitheses, where Jesus, the living Torah, is redoing the Torah. You have heard it said, and then, but I say, and this is the fourth one of these. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was a law meant to restrain vengeance. For us, that means an eye for an eye, that's vengeance. No, this is to restrain vengeance. If he knocks out one of your eyes, you can knock out one of his, but not two. If he knocks out one of your teeth, you can knock out one of his, but not two. It's to restrain vengeance, to restrain violence. But having said that, then our Lord goes on to say, but I say. Now, that's the Torah. This is what the Torah says. But I say. Think of the authority. He is saying, in effect, I am the Torah. I am the Torah incarnate. And I'm going to tell you what the really deep meaning of it is. And so we have this text. Offer no resistance to one who is evil or to evil. Offer no resistance. What can that possibly mean? These are the kinds of texts that very often we sort of say, well, whatever it means, I'm going to duck. I'm not going to apply this. We can't do that, my friends. Whatever it means, this is the word of God, and we have to try to figure it out. I must acknowledge that after two millennia, we still haven't figured it out. There are those who actually do this, and have been massacred. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. Now, if he strikes you on your right cheek, presuming he's right-handed, he's going to slap you this way. Very insulting. And he says, turn the other one. Now, what can that possibly mean? How would we make even baby steps toward applying this? You see? If someone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, now this may be an oppressive lender who took the tunic from the poor man as a pledge, and you're not able to pay, so he's going to court to take your tunic. Let him have it. Let him have your cloak as well. And then should the occupying forces, the Roman occupying forces had a law that they could make anybody work, carry a burden for a mile. Just here, pick up that and carry it for a mile. He says, if they do, this is the occupying forces. Carry it too. Now, how do we understand these things? Well, first, I think we have to look into the heart of Jesus. What did he do? What's there that we have to look at? You can see right away how whatever this thing says, how different it is from the violence and vengeance and thoughts in our brains. This is a tremendous confrontation of violence and of the violence within us. Well, let's try a few things. One, certainly we've heard it this morning. So every one of us has got to look into our heart. Where is their vengeance? Where is their anger? And beg the Holy Spirit to get it out. That much is surely clear. You see, is there more? Of course there's more. Some commentators, two millennia, we still haven't figured out exactly how to say what Jesus is saying. They call them a focal instance. These are purposely powerful to give us an idea. Your heart should be ready for this. And it's obviously to take out violence and anger from our hearts. It's interesting. People in concentration camps will tell you, in the suffering and the hunger, and the sexual drive seems to just go, but the anger drive never dies. And the great spiritual masters, the great fathers of the desert, those people say, you know, in order to overcome the drive toward pleasure, we need discipline. In order to overcome the drive toward anger, we need love. There is no other way to combat anger, violence, vengeance, all that sort of thing, except love. And then it shows you, you know, love for us is very often like a warm fuzzy. What does it have to do with this power of the Holy Spirit, who, you know, led Jesus right to the cross for us? And how do we learn to apply this? Well, I think, to begin, we can start taking baby steps. If we're not ready, like, to turn the other cheek, at least we should be ready to forgive and get the violence, the vengeance, out of our hearts. And it's there. It's there. And to let the Holy Spirit take that out. Now, there are ways. After a while, we learn to invoke the Holy Spirit and to go right straight against it. Not just tolerate it and hope you don't yield. Go right against it. The old spirituality, that was called agere contra. Well, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do that, because, I mean, you know, that's me I'm going against, you know. But we have to do it. And that brings great peace. It's one thing, you know, to try to get rid of angry thoughts and not express them, and they're still rattling around in there, and they'll come out. But to go straight against it. And that's a discipline, and we can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that any other way. Now, I think it's important to bear this in mind, you know. Only God knows where things are going to go, but how many people have an intuition, huh? That the church is heading for a great time of light, but it must pass through a time of darkness to get there. You know, Anne's prophecies, Anne's words, the Lord has told her, this is the most disobedient age ever on the globe. Well, surely it's not going to go on. I just think, I mean, look at the millions of embryos just hanging around for somebody to, you know. One of the reasons for the enormous extent of evil is we have such great technology. We could do so much good, and we do. But evil, I mean, everybody is concerned about the destroyed youth. Everybody is concerned about, you know, the power, what Benedict XVI called the obscene wealth of certain people who are not helping out the poor. These things must be redressed. But right now, this morning, this Monday of the 11th week, we can listen to this text and say, today, Lord, I am not going to walk off and just block this out. I've done it for 40, 50, 60 years, but today I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let this into my heart. And where I see anger and vengeance, I am going to go right straight against it in the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm just going to renounce it. You'll find that quite painful. You know, it's like, hit my dog, hit me. I mean, you know, I'm going after this anger, but that's me. But it's the way to go to bring peace and union with Jesus. How much further can we go? That's up to the Lord. That's up to the Lord. Remember, these are like, you know, when that man slapped him at the trial, he questioned him. He said, why are you slapping me? Remember? If I've said something wrong, prove it. If I've said, well, then otherwise, why slap me? So this is not like one of these mathematical universal laws. Everybody goes, whew. But it is a law. And I think the challenge for us and for everybody is to say, today I am going to begin to implement this, even if it's just baby steps. I'm going to try, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to get rid of the feelings and thoughts and plans and emotions that are in me, that are violent and vengeful, and try to have a heart that is more like the heart of Jesus.